Welcome to the Gut Health Dialogues with Alyssa. Hi, I'm Alyssa, a registered dietitian, integrative and functional nutrition therapist, and real food enthusiast. In this podcast, I'm thrilled to share with you the tried and tested secrets to living a symptom-free life, whether you're living with IBS, SIBO, or any other stomach issue. If you're sick and tired of hearing from doctors that there is nothing wrong with you, but still feeling worse and ready to take control of your gut health, this podcast is for you. And guess what? Today's episode is extra special. We're diving into the real experiences of individuals who've embarked on this journey to reclaim their gut health. We're introducing our incredible client testimonials. These are the real stories of triumph, transformation, and the unwavering spirit to take control of their gut health. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and get ready to be inspired. Our clients are not just sharing testimonials, they're sharing the keys to locking a life of vitality and balance. Without further ado, let's kick off another empowering episode of the Gut Health Dialogues. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation today. I'm really excited for everyone to hear your story because I just think your story is so interesting and might resonate with some people who are going through a similar experience. And we are a couple months into working together, right? So we started talking originally in November. Tell me what you remember about a couple months ago and what things were like with you and your health.
Probably around a year ago, was struggling immensely with just overall discomfort in like my GI tract. My stomach was just never happy, it seemed like. And I had never had issues like that whatsoever before. So it was a very different, new situation, to almost the point that I felt like I was dying because it was so consistent. And I just didn't understand why. I had a lot of bloating, a lot of discomfort every time I would eat, to the point that I would convince myself that it was not food related, just because it was every food it felt like I would have some type of discomfort level. Just felt like I was in a constant, almost became afraid of food, for dealing with another stomach ache or another just have to lay in bed type of day.
So severe stomach pain, right? Did it get worse when you ate?
It did. It got worse, I would say, 1 to 2 hours after I ate. And it was predominantly on my left side, like under my rib, it felt like. It almost felt like, the best way to describe it was, like, I never really thought my stomach was directly underneath my rib. Kind of thought it was, like, more toward the middle of, like, my abdomen. Even though now I've learned it kind of sits more toward the left side of the body. But it felt like my stomach was expanding so much that it was actually putting pressure on my ribs, my left rib, and causing a severe amount of discomfort, to the point that it almost felt like, is there like a mass in there? Is there like, what is this? Because it was not normal feeling at all.
Can you describe the pain? Was it sharp? Was it burning? Was it dull?
I feel like in the very beginning, it started as like a dull, consistent, almost ache. And as I would assume my inflammation grew in my body, over time, it just became a consistent stomach. I mean, it got to the point where it was my whole abdomen almost. It would definitely start into my right side. I can almost start to like feel it start growing. Yeah, to the point that I had thought like maybe I had bruising inside because I had had my daughter recently, or maybe something had went wrong with the C-section, but none of that was the case.
And you were how far out from having your daughter, which is your second child, right?
Yeah, so I have two children. They are exactly 2 years apart. And I would say probably about when I got my cycle back, so maybe like 3 months after having my daughter, I was experiencing pretty close to after having her, but it was very consistent about 3 months after having her.
Okay. And you had said you felt a pressure, but you didn't have bloating, right? Where people just sometimes with GI issues describe like seeing their belly bloat out. You didn't have that, right?
Yeah, no, I did not have that. That's why it was almost not normal for me to think that it was my stomach, because I feel like traditionally, like if you bloat, it's because it's coming from your stomach. But I would just have severe cramping, stinging, sh not necessarily sharp pains, because it wasn't like sharp, like as in it would come and go. It was very, when it came on, it was consistent for hours, days, accompanied with a lot of cramping.
Okay. And you had shared with me that sometimes you were in so much pain you wouldn't even eat dinner. You just wouldn't eat.
Because I was just afraid I was either going to further that pain from eating, or something was just not gonna. I almost didn't even also have an appetite because of the pain.
So this started happening kind of out of the blue, right? And kept
Yeah,
happening.
absolutely. Yeah.
Kept happening. And how did you feel about everything? As I mean, that would be pretty alarming, I can imagine.
Of course, I Googled it, which I don't ever recommend doing, because you
Right.
will automatically be dying of some form of cancer, if you type any symptom into Google. And that's absolutely not the case for me after doing every test under the book, every procedure. I immediately made an appointment with my primary doctor when I just felt like, okay, this is pretty consistent, seeming to not go away. And of course, I had just had my second child, so I knew that there were changes to my body that had happened, so I wanted to ensure everything was doing what it should. And I had just had major
Right.
surgery.
Yeah.
And they cleared completely that it had nothing to do with my C-section or my postpartum. They even had me go see my OB, who agreed that there was nothing. I've done ultrasounds, multiple ultrasounds, CT scans. I've done the endoscopic C procedure. They thought maybe I had a stomach ulcer. Everything was completely normal. Every blood work panel I've ever done has been completely normal. I did a HIDA scan for my gallbladder, which I was told I have a high functioning gallbladder, which any other doctor I've ever told that to, they don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
And
So.
honestly, when you first told me that, I thought, because it's very easy to just not understand or medical information when you first hear it. So I thought maybe you were telling me wrong. Maybe like I'm like, are you sure I'm hearing you right? And like, yeah. And then you double checked, I think, and you were like, yeah, it's a highly functioning gallbladder. And honestly, I had never heard of that before, but apparently that can happen. And I learned that with you.
They told me a normal functioning gallbladder is between 30 to, I think, 80 or 85%, and I was at a 94. But there wasn't really any solution besides, well, maybe we should take it out. And I'm not one to tamper with my body if it's not necessary. I want to make sure if I'm going to remove an organ, it should be pretty precise that it needs to be done. So I even went as far as just having kind of like a meet and greet with the surgeon. And she also could not say that she felt it was my gallbladder. She did not feel comfortable performing a surgery to remove it, just because of how I had expressed to her my symptoms, what I felt like when I would have a rise in symptoms. She was not confident that removing it would fix that for me.
Okay. And you were, yeah, I remember because when we first talked, I think you were about to meet with her, and then you came back and told me, yeah, she and I think you were hoping she would say you didn't have to get it removed. And I was, I mean, that's obviously a last resort. So if you have to do it, you have to. But I'm glad she gave you that advice. So what we learned is that the high functioning gallbladder means your gallbladder was producing a significant amount of acid, right? And then you had noticed one other thing that tell us what that was about eggs.
So after I had my daughter, I had started to notice that I had discomfort when I would eat eggs, and I ate eggs every single day. It actually kind of came by chance too. I was kind of Googling like what are foods that could cause acid reflux. And one of the top things that had came up was eggs. And all the other foods, the only other food that would cause it for me too would be coffee. And I had given up coffee during my pregnancy with my daughter because I did have acid reflux, as a pregnancy symptom, and coffee would cause it. So I just honestly got rid of coffee completely. But I did not have a problem with eggs during her pregnancy. But after, just kind of having that knowledge of like eggs could be a source of acid reflux, because that was one of my main symptoms, was acid reflux, and then the acid causing the stomach pain that I've learned now. And yeah, I just noticed as I kind of had that in the back of my head of just every time I would eat eggs, I would kind of be like, there it is, there's that pain, almost within a 12-hour window of eating the eggs. Which then I would brought that information to my GI specialist, who then went the gallbladder route, which is what introduced, let's do a HIDA scan for your gallbladder. And from there, they learned to have a high functioning gallbladder. And I was convinced at that point I had an allergy to eggs. So I asked for an allergy panel, which they gave me, but eggs did not show up. But they preface it with, this test is only 50-50 accurate. But when my results came back and I was not allergic to eggs, that is, they ran with that. That was all they were, just completely eliminated that it could be an allergy to eggs. So without like a medical validation of, yeah, you could be allergic to eggs, rather, I was told, nope, you can't be allergic to eggs. I mean, I removed eggs in the whole form, but not looking at what type of foods have egg in them. So I was definitely still consuming eggs on a regular basis, not necessarily knowing that.
Okay, so you suspected that you had an egg allergy because whenever you ate eggs, you felt a worsening in the symptoms. But they did an allergy test on, and it's a food allergy test on you, and it said you have zero food allergies, right?
Correct, yeah.
And so that was not, so you didn't really look any further other than just avoiding eating eggs like for breakfast or something like that.
Yes.
And then I don't remember exactly what changed, but when we started talking, I think we talked about the eggs possibly being an issue, and we talked about and one more thing you had started was the acid reducer, right? The PPI.
Yeah. Yeah. So after my HIDA scan and they saw the influx amount of acid, they had then put me on acid blockers. Then they, I think they gave me a 3-month supply, which I didn't take in the beginning because I'm not a lover of let's resolve with medicine, especially if to me it seems to be derived by food. Like to me, it would be more of a solution to like, okay, then let's evaluate what you're eating. But they didn't go that route once, which was super disappointing. So I got to the point where I was in so much discomfort and so much pain that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take acid blockers for 2 weeks because that's traditionally the normal recommended amount. And it did help. It tremendously helped. Almost like I probably had a buildup of acid in my stomach or wherever it went, and was just causing severe pain and cramping. And I would say after a week of being on acid blockers, my pain was completely gone. But I would still have discomfort and cramping. And I would attribute that probably to because I was still ingesting eggs.
So what did we do when we started working together? We started you on a heal. You were still on the pantoprazole, the acid reducer.
Yeah.
We started you on some healing nutrients, right? Like a
Yes.
couple supplements. You were interested in bone broth. I said that's a great idea to help with the
Yeah.
healing because you had get. Did they ever diagnose you with gastritis?
No. I
No.
was never diagnosed with anything besides a
Okay.
high functioning gallbladder.
Okay. But because of the symptoms you were describing, we were talking about, nutrients that will heal the lining of your stomach, help to nourish and soothe and heal that lining. So I recommended a supplement that I really like that has some restorative nutrients and some herbals that help to kind of soothe and restore that protective coating that our stomach is supposed to have. And then you had brought up the idea of bone broth or bone broth pills because you didn't want to, you
Yes.
didn't know if you would like bone broth. That's all we did with supplements, just those two things. And then we pursued this, it really just sounded to me like, yeah, there's some food allergies going on here, at least as part of the problem. And we always, with my clients, I have the same a similar philosophy as you. I want to look, if you need a medication, you need a medication. But whether we're using medication or not is really not even the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is let's make sure we're addressing the actual problem and not masking it with something. So long-term solution, because acid reducers were really helpful in the beginning, right? But we're working together to figure out what can you do to stay healthy and to kind of address this naturally for a longer-term solution. So we started down the path of looking more at food allergies. And I think you said that the doctor, when they got that negative allergy result back for the food allergies, you didn't feel any more encouragement from that side to pursue that. But I think our work together, that is exactly kind of the route we went. So was that when you started looking at eggs a little bit deeper as far as the ingredients in things?
Yeah, it is. After that, I told myself the last procedure I was gonna do with my GI specialist was the HydaScan, because I felt like they have done every type of procedure to give me some kind of diagnosis to then wrap me with some type of medication. And that really wasn't the answer that I wanted because I was a very healthy individual prior to this. I didn't feel like all of a sudden I would have some severe diagnosis I'd never had before, or didn't have any type of symptoms toward before that it would make sense to do this just daily medicine intake or consistent procedures over and over again. To the point that I told myself, okay, I'm gonna do the HydaScan, I'll meet with the gallbladder surgeon, and then I asked to be recommended to a nutritionist, which is how I met you. And that's, I mean, the moment you and I started working together is the only time I've ever been validated in you have an allergy to eggs and you should not eat them. I feel like I don't know if it was just for the sole reasoning of them wanting more procedures or wanting some type of medical diagnosis that came along with medicine, but they could not give me that answer and almost wanted to just keep going down rabbit holes of, well, let's try this procedure rather than just saying, well, let's eliminate eggs and let's see, like, let's really eliminate eggs and everything that has eggs in it, let's remove it. I mean, and the stress level that I was in from going through all these procedures, never been in a doctor's office so much in my life besides the two pregnancies I had, which were very normal, safe pregnancies. Yeah, it was very scary. And then, having two little children that I want to roll around with on the floor and play with and, cook meals with them and do normal life with them, I felt like I was in a consistent, just huddled in my room in pain, all for simply being essentially allergic to eggs. It's kind of crazy that a doctor couldn't accept that almost. I felt like I wasn't being listened to. And that was really.
Did you feel like they just kind of disregarded that possibility after, especially after the
Absolutely. Yeah. I think they didn't take into account any of my prior history, which was essentially nothing. I think that they wanted a diagnosis, and I respect that they. That's their job. I understand that, but I felt like I wasn't being listened to for what was actually happening to me. I was never asked, do you exercise? Do you drink enough water? Are you sleeping enough? What's your stress levels like? What is your typical diet? I feel like when you walk into a GI doctor, when your GI tract encompasses all of that on a daily, I would have thought that would have been the first questions that they asked, but it was never asked once in the probably 8 appointments I had.
And I will tell you that when we're talking about, I mean, that's a very common experience. I think that's a whole other conversation about, I think, just the way the medical system is. And so that is unfortunate, because it sounds like it boiled down to you didn't feel heard, and then the end result was It actually kind of moved you potentially away from this what the solution actually was, because you've been so much better since avoiding eggs. And I just wanted to interject here that when it comes to food allergies, most allergists will tell you what they told you, which is that the food allergy tests are about 50, 60% accurate only. So they usually do pair that with a recommendation. And this is true whether we're talking about food allergies or sensitivities or intolerances. The gold standard is still just eliminating and reintroducing and seeing what happens, because no test is perfect. And there are different types of ways, many different ways the body can react to something. It might just, so we just, what we did was we said, okay, we're, seems like we're really onto something based on your symptoms with these eggs. And then when you started note, like looking deeper, because if you have a true allergy, you're very sensitive to even small amounts of something. And so eggs are in lots of different foods or derivatives of eggs or ingredient eggs as an ingredient. And so that really, that was your next step, right? Taking a deeper look at eggs and really getting them out of your diet.
And I was shocked at, even though I wasn't frying up an egg in my kitchen in the morning for breakfast, how many times I was actually still ingesting eggs just through ingredients it was in various other food products that I was eating.
And then do you want to share what else we did as far as with our dietary approach? Beyond eggs.
So we did the inflammation test, and that kind of gave me markers for other foods to avoid, which I don't think I had too many big ones on there, but I did have, like, bell peppers was one of my food to avoid, and I definitely ate that probably every other day at least. And so I've completely avoided that food as well. But yeah, the inflammation test was pretty eye-opening, not because there were, I mean, sometimes it's kind of crazy to think that even though a food is good for you, it might not work, like, for your body. And you don't know that until you take a specific test to your body. And I had never done that before.
So we did the mediator release test, which tells us how much, just kind of how much inflammation a food is producing or when it's introduced to your blood. And we use that actually not to, not per se, just to in part to see what else was causing inflammation for you, definitely, but also to see what was not causing inflammation so that we could use that gold standard approach and do an elimination, a proper elimination diet where we started you just on foods that we had a pretty good idea based on the testing, were not inflammatory and were not going to bother you. And then we built out from there. So it's almost a reverse approach from let me do a test and see what I'm allergic to and pull that out. We took it a step further and said, let's just start, let's clean the slate and start with this foundation of safe foods and then build on that. And in that way, we were able to calm inflammation more than we would have by just pulling out eggs or just pulling out eggs and a couple other things, and that's it. And calm inflammation more quickly. And then as you've been adding foods back in, it's been more obvious to you if a food is triggering you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So now that we've talked through all that, just tell us a little bit about where you're at today, what things are like for you now, how you've been feeling, what you're taking, what you're eating.
I am a completely different person. I mean, I'm essentially back to the person I was prior, but probably even better. Just because I've learned different things or how to recognize certain things being symptoms as, like, oh, that's probably a no food for right now. I am not eating a single shred of an egg. I am very cautious on ingredients. It's actually kind of a bummer that not every place has an allergen menu. I've learned that that was definitely not a part of my world, was researching before I went somewhere, if there was an egg in a certain plate of food. Looking at every label when I'm at the grocery store, even the simplest things as breads and pastas have egg in them, and I would have never even thought of that. So yeah, very much just being diligent about absolutely no eggs, because that seems to be one of the absolute biggest game changers for me. And then continuing with the two supplements that you and I have gone over. I was taking bone broth in like the liquid form prior to you and I working together, but it was so nasty taste-wise. That's why I immediately said, do you know of it in like a pill form? Because I would love to just swallow it and be done with it for the day and have no taste involved. So I was super happy that I could do that as well. So yeah, I've just been continuing with those two supplements, probably even to the point that I don't actually need to, but I kind of love them. They've kind of become like my little buddies to just do every morning, and it's just normal. But I guess I'll probably start to lessen those as we've kind of talked about that. But yeah, I can't even tell you, probably from the very beginning of us working together was the last time I had a symptom, besides kind of learning one-off foods here and there, like Brussels sprouts and broccoli that I didn't necessarily know about before, because I'm now able to like recognize those symptoms pretty quickly. Yeah, other than that, I have not had a single side pain, flare-up, extreme cramping. I am playing with my children more than ever because I feel like I missed out for 6 months, and my daughter's only a year old and my son is 3 years old. I feel like I almost have a very large appreciation even more for the things that I didn't necessarily take for granted, but I didn't realize how easily they can just be harder to do in a sense. Yeah, I feel like I have a very largely different life. I was also a heavy workout routine person before. Couldn't even think about doing a single workout in the 6 months of this rough road. And my husband and I started 75 hard in the last 2 weeks, which is two workouts a day. Didn't think I could ever have the energy again to do that. And I absolutely love it. I didn't even want to think about doing a single squat considering my stomach wasn't feeling great. But I feel like I've got a great amount of energy, a sustaining amount of energy. I feel like honestly, I have my life back. I thought for sure I was dying or this was going to be my life. Just curled up in a ball on my bed, not really enjoying life. And I feel like I don't have a single shred of worry of that anymore. And I did not see that playing out that way, unfortunately. And I'm so thankful that it did.
So, as our last, your last kind of word to everyone listening, what advice would you give someone who is in a position where maybe they have a the, like they feel like they're not getting to the root of the problem, and their doctors or that their doctors aren't maybe listening? What advice would you give?
Probably my best thing would be work with a nutritionist. I honestly, truly, I mean, even prior to us working together, I've always looked at food as a form of medicine. I think our bodies are built to be a healing source to us. I think that our bodies are built to do what it needs to do for itself. I do believe medicine plays a part, especially for certain things in life, but I firmly believe that our bodies are very more capable than we maybe give credit to. I don't think the first source should ever be medicine. I think that we should consistently be asking ourselves, are we sleeping enough? Are we drinking enough water? What is your diet like? What are your stress levels like? I think those questions should be consistently asked. And if they're not being met, I think they need to be looked at. I think a nutritionist is the perfect way to start that.
That's awesome advice. I think that's great advice. And just to be clear about the whole medicine thing, it's like you and I were talking earlier. I think it's not even that we're saying no medicine because we're not, but we're saying look, make sure that you're doing what you can to look at what the cause is and address that. And if it has to be a medicine or it has to be a medicine temporarily, that's okay. But don't mat whether it's a medicine or whether it's with a supplement. Try to step away from masking a symptom with
Yes.
a treatment and try to look more at what is actually causing the symptom. And that's what it boils down to. Because you were taking the medicine and it was helping. So we did take the medicine, but you just didn't, you know, you You didn't want that to be the end all be all for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should be supportive to our bodies so that it can do what it should do. And I think the best form of that is traditionally through nutrition and exercise. I think that medicine is great. I don't discount medicine. I don't think that it shouldn't be what it is today. I just don't think it should be the first source or the only or the for the rest of your life.
Well, amen to that. And thank you so much for sharing your story. I think it's just a really, I think there are going to be some people who can relate to that experience. So thanks so much for sharing today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.